All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And happy Friday, gang. If you're here, you're in the right spot. We've got a ton of stuff to cover. Clearly, the macro markets are leading the charge for all markets right now. Inflation, good CPI report. The market was ripping on that. Confident for more rate cuts to come. But what's next for the crypto market specifically? And you're in the right place if you love the trenches, because we have our the meme team, the trenches, the momentum money makers are in the house. Brian and Joe are here on a Friday. So we're going to two-part this. The first part, we're going to hit with our macro, what's going on in the markets. We've got some fun news to cover. We're going to check out CoinMarketCap. Jamie Dimon in the news again about how much he loves slash hates Bitcoin. Do as they do, not as they say, folks. We're going to cover that. We had Kathy Wood and Tom Lee together, quite possibly the most bullish clip I've ever seen on the internet, specifically on crypto Twitter. And then we'll jump into the meme stuff later in the show. We've got Up Only TV coming back. We've got some base meme alpha that Joe's going to give out. We have a cusp call from the boys from the Momentum Moneymakers community that's already been a 2x, absolute winners everywhere. So even in a sideways market, when times are unsure, our guys are finding winners. Brian and Joe, welcome to the show. Brian, happy Friday, my friend.
What's up, TiVo? Happy to be here. It's always a good way to start off the weekend with a little rundown episode for the boys.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no better way to start or kick off like a weekend Friday afternoon. We joke about all the time. Like, we actually look forward to these. So excited to be here. Joe, welcome. Before your trip, I know you're heading out. Thanks for squeezing us in.
Yeah, like super excited.
Yeah, a lot going on. I know, Brian, you love the coin market caps. So let's kick it off with that. We had CPI come out, even though it was a little bit of, it's one of those ones where it was a little higher, but it was lower than expected. The market was kind of flying blind the last couple weeks here with the government shutdown. You're not getting that traditional weekly data from the government, but it didn't seem to upset the markets too much. And then they saw that lower than expected print this morning for the CPI. Everything started to lift. Your Mag 7s, Bitcoin, the QQQs, NASDAQ, everything was moving higher. So the crypto market seemed to like it. But man, just kind of like a volatile couple weeks here. As we're always kind of hanging out on that upper third of all-time highs. So what are you seeing, Brian? What do you want to look at? Wherever you want to take us on the coin market cap, I'll click through for you.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at the big boys here. Let's look at Bitcoin and Ethereum. We've actually seen still some positive inflows with the ETFs, but we seem to can't get past like that 114, 115. We keep getting knocked down to like these like sub 110 Bitcoin ranges. A little frustrating. Joe and I were talking about with the community a lot that we're seeing some just chop. That's exactly what it is. It's not super exciting, but personally, I feel like a pretty comfy place. I mean, we're at $110,000 Bitcoin. We got Fed meetings, we got Fed cuts. Obviously, there's some macro news out there with like the tariffs and government shutdowns, things that just seem to be holding us back, especially for such a bullish month, what we call Uptober. We haven't quite seen that Uptober. We had a few days there where we're like, oh yeah, it's happening. And then we obviously had a little pullback. We had all those leverage liquidations. So some things that just keeping us in check. I'm not overly concerned at all, but it definitely feels like we keep like hitting into a wall and we're getting bought back down. A lot of people have been like pointing the finger at some like ancient Bitcoin whale wallets have been selling. That could be true because a lot of those whale wallets, they really follow that traditional four-year cycle, that Bitcoin cycle. I don't really foresee it really coming to fruition in the same way, but you know, they have more money than we could dream. So they're obviously taking profits when they got hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. But personally, I think it's bullish because they're going to run out of Bitcoin to sell. These ETFs, traditional finance, smart money's buying it up, and we're just going to get shallower lows. So I think this is a really interesting time, even though it's a little boring because we're just chopping along. And I personally think we're going to chop for a few more weeks too, until we probably catch, you know, good old Santa's rally. I'm still very bullish that we're going to see some crazy numbers in Q4. It might be a little bit later than I expected. I thought we'd hit like an all-time high with Bitcoin right around Halloween. Now, kind of with like just a little bit of this chop, I think it could go a few more weeks, but still super bullish for where we're at. Bitcoin 110 grand, Ethereum 4 grand, Solana close to 200. These aren't terrible numbers by any any means, but I would like to see a next leg up.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani. All right, Crypt Nation fam, are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? Because I know I am. The Bitcoin credit card by Gemini earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it like any credit card. You buy lunch, you get gas, any of your weekly grocery expenses, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight into your account. All that with no annual fee. And right now, you can grab $200 of Bitcoin. That's right, a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus with the Gemini credit card. It is the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
You hired a new employee. Time to get to work, right? Not quite. First, you need to get a bunch of HR tools for payroll and benefits. Then you'll need to add IT software to manage their devices and app access. You also have to track their expenses, so you'll need different finance software for that, too. Oh, and none of these softwares work together. That's sad. Software as a disservice. Rippling is built to serve your business. It lets you run HR, IT, and finance on one unified platform. Rippling provides time-saving automations and connected workflows across your departments, so you can finally find time for the work that matters. And for a limited time, you can get 6 months of Rippling free when you sign up at rippling.com/podcast. That's RIPPLING.com/podcast for 6 months of Rippling free. Terms and conditions apply.
And you wouldn't know that because, again, if you go over to the Fear and Greed Index, I mean, people are scared out there, Joe. They're terrified. So, you know, I always say whenever that number or whenever that, the number goes into fear and Bitcoin's above 100K, I mean, we would have, if we were talking about this last year, 2 years, and especially 3 years ago, if you would have said like, hey, guess what, guys, we're going to be, the Fear and Greed Index is going to be in fear and Bitcoin's going to be up over 100K, you'd be like, nah, no way. That's crazy. So I think it's definitely a new era. And then obviously there's a lot of people that, you know, haven't been following the Crypto 101 podcast, haven't been subscribed to the YouTube, haven't been listening to the show for the last couple of years, like the majority of our listeners have. And if you've been on that journey, you know, it's been a great one. There's a lot of people newer to the market that were buying in the 90s, 100s, 110s. We're missing. Oh, I got to buy at 115, 120. You know, it kind of felt like, you know, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're about to play a clip from Kathy Wood and Tom Lee. We were all loving it. Yeah, like Bitcoin 10K. It's like, you know, the bears were calling, Ethereum 10K. It's like at one point, not that long ago, even the bears for Ethereum were saying, yeah, I mean, 8K. 8K looks like it. Even the bears were calling for 8K, which was wild. So it felt like one of those situations where I like to say, everybody kind of felt one side of the boat. You know, rate cuts are coming, the runway's clear. Obviously, the administration's pro-crypto. So it just seemed like it was the perfect runway for flying high and no hiccups. And we all know if you've spent any time in the markets, that's not how it works.
Bitcoin right now is leading, holding everything up, right? And a lot of people still believe Bitcoin 175 before it ended the year. What happened recently was Solana. ETF got approved in Hong Kong. I'm going to Asia. See, it's all because of me. And we're gonna see another wave come in with these ETF filings come in end of the quarter. So I'm super stoked for, you know, how we end up the year. It's going to be fire.
Yeah, I think, Brian, you're right. It's like everybody's kind of calling for this, I don't know, neck-breaking speed of a rally into the end of the year. I don't know. I guess if we had the crystal ball, we would all be multi-billionaires, which we don't have, sadly. But, you know, I think once you start shaking people out and you see that fear, especially that huge deleveraging event that happened not too long ago, it kind of feels like it's kind of a new layer of evenness to kind of figure out where this might go into the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the key number, and it's a psychological number, it's $100,000 for Bitcoin. You know, if we were like 92,000, I'd be kind of sweating it a little bit, just thinking like, what are the bears? What's everything looking at? But we're at $110,000 Bitcoin with some massive adoption and news coming. Still, we just can, like, I know we talk about it a lot with the administration and all the news that are coming, but it's a very bullish time for the crypto sector. So this pullback just feels more like a consolidation period. It feels like an opportunity to me. We love buying Bitcoin at all-time highs. I'm guilty of it as well because I'm like, oh, to a million we go. But this is a great time to just continuously dollar cost average in and stay close. But things don't feel like a 32 fear and greed meter. It should be much more modern.
But it doesn't. But other than the fact that we had that huge, you know, record-setting deleveraging that was a head-scratching, you know, amount of money, right? And so, again, what we preach on the show and what we educate is, you know, if you're going to go in and do some leverage, you better be well educated on it, and you better not overextend yourself, because if you don't know what you're doing, your entire years of work and savings and portfolio can disappear like that. And so I think because everybody on this team has their own trading strategies, and sure, there's different levels of risk and risk taking, but it's all educated with understanding what we're doing. And it felt like a lot of the people who might be in that 32 fear level, overextended themselves and lost a ton of money. And the same thing with the altcoin, or, you know, the altcoin season, Bitcoin's Bitcoin season here, 24. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, guys. We were doing shows with, I know you guys and Brendan, that like, that was, you know, over, it wasn't totally altcoin season yet, but it was right on the cusp. So it feels like, I said, it's like a full reset here. Which, again, I think you're in the right place if you continue to listen to these episodes during this boring, wear you out type of things. We've seen this before. It happened last summer, and there was the final flush. The Japan Nikkei trade happened last August, and everybody was like, "Well, like I don't know. It doesn't feel right. We're going to the election. It doesn't feel right." And it's like, well, if you had Polymarket and you were watching the statistics of what was going to happen in the election, you could get your bets on the right side. And it was an absolute rocket ship from that point, basically for, you know, 6 to 8 months until the tariff situation, which again was another opportunity. So you're always, you know, the people that say like, oh, this is boring and I don't like the price action, like that's the time to really be listening to these shows and educating yourself and staying with the markets, because that's where the opportunities are. And then I'll transition us to a video. So we have literally one of the biggest bullish things I've ever seen online. It's Cathie Wood and Tom Lee all in one clip. It's 3.5 minutes here. Let's listen to the first, you know, we'll do a minute and then maybe I'll click around, get a little bit of both take. But I mean, the absolute permabulls of crypto here. So let's hear what they have to say.
Ecosystem, we expect to hit $25 trillion in 2030. The vast majority of that in Bitcoin, mostly because we look at Bitcoin as, you know, a global monetary system, you know, rules-based that we've been missing since the U.S. went off the gold exchange standard in 1971. That's a very big idea. It's a technology, obviously, and it is the first of its kind, and we wrote a paper in 2016 on this, first of its kind in a new asset class. So those are three very big ideas. I'd love to hear your thoughts on why ETH or the ecosystem will surpass Bitcoin.
Okay. Well, if I could rewind a little bit to 1971, in our chairman's message last month, we addressed how gold versus Wall Street grew post 1971. So 1971 was when Nixon formally withdrew the US from the gold standard. The immediate beneficiary was there was demand and a market to own gold. And so gold. People would say that was your, you know, first implication. But when what we wrote about and talked about in our message was that in 1971, the dollar became fully synthetic because it was no longer backed by anything. And so there was risk that the world would go off the dollar standard. So in stepped Wall Street to create products to propagate the future of Wall Street, including, and we listed, I think, 14 products that emerged over the next decade, from money market funds to credit to mortgage-backed securities to futures, et cetera. And dollar dominance by the end of that period went from 27% of GDP terms, but to 57% of central bank reserves and 80% of financial transaction quotes. So Wall Street was created products that made the dollar dominant. And the market cap of equities today is $40 trillion compared to $2 trillion for gold. So in other words, gold is 5% of all available assets. And so in 2025, we think everything is now becoming synthetic as we, or tokenized, sorry, not synthetic. So as we move not just dollars onto the blockchain, which is stablecoins, but we'll move stocks and real estate, dollar dominance is going to be the opportunity of Ethereum. So digital gold is Bitcoin. And so in that world, we believe Ethereum could flip Bitcoin, similar to how Wall Street and equities flipped gold.
Take by Tom Lee. I mean, I know I've seen him kind of explain that multiple ways, but I think it's interesting to see them go back and forth with each other. And there's obviously tons of mutual respect when it comes to those two legends of the investing game and legends of the crypto space as a whole. But, you know, Brian, to toss it to you first, what, any thoughts? Are you leaning one way or the other? Obviously, you know, Tom Lee's all in on Ethereum. He has a biased take. Full disclosure, as we know, he's on the board of Bitmine, which is an Ethereum treasury company. And then Cathie Wood herself has a Bitcoin ARK ETF. So, you know, the biases are there, but I think they both, you know, agree that, you know, crypto is the future, and kind of that explanation of going and studying the history of the synthetic dollar and what happened when that, you know, took place was fascinating.
First thing I noticed in that video, it might be a different office for Tom Lee, but he looks locked in because it looks like he replaced his bed with two additional computer monitors. So my guy is grinding the charts with the with all of us right now.
That is that is a different thing. I know the bed was in his office at the office. I believe this is maybe one of his homes, a little nook. Looks like a nice little working nook there.
Yeah, it looked a little different, but I honestly, I don't think you could probably have this debate for hours of, you know, the bullishness of Bitcoin and the thesis behind his digital gold and a store of value, and then Ethereum with all the stablecoin legislation and just being one of the top blockchains that developers gravitate towards, and then the ETF support on both. Personally, I have exposure to both, so I'm bullish on both, and I see a path for both succeeding. And I think both Bitcoin and Ethereum will succeed together. I don't think it's as much as like picking between them, which one outperforms which one. I would actually probably lean a little bit more Ethereum right now. But you know, I could go on and on of why I believe that, and then you could argue Solana and some other L2s. Or layer ones, I should say, that have tokens and that they don't have ETF support. So I think at the end of the day, there's just a lot of smart people out there trying to build in the blockchain Web3 space, and they're utilizing all these payment rails and they're utilizing Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I think they're all going to go up eventually here.
100%. Yeah, Joe, any thoughts to add on?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that Tom said that really spoke up, I've been watching and listening to a lot of Tom recently, was just that we experienced, what, six black swan events since 2021. And he said that in the face of all of that, crypto has risen, you know, and it deserves a higher market price than what it is now, specifically Ethereum. And when you look at, you know, Silicon Valley tech stocks versus the book value of crypto, it's like night and day, and it's slowly condensing. An example we can give is like Pump Fund, right? ARK Invest, Kathy Woods talked about Pump Fund in one of her funds. And yeah, they have $1.5 billion in funds, yet their market cap's less than $1.5 billion. And that wouldn't happen in traditional tech world in Silicon Valley. So we're slowly going to see that come together. And all that to say is that Ethereum is probably undervalued at, what, $500 billion? We have Apple, we have NVIDIA at $2 trillion now. And Tom Lee says that NVIDIA is way undervalued. So if NVIDIA is undervalued, then Ethereum definitely has room to grow. So I'm excited about Ethereum overall, more than before, because me and Brian were Ethereum maxis. You know, he's wearing a Solana hat right now. We went over to the dark side of the world, you know, trading meme coins in the trenches. And I'm excited about Ethereum all over again. Pudgy Penguin, Ethereum, you know, and all of the NFTs that are resilient on Ethereum, as well as the stablecoin market like Tom's referring to. So I definitely see a path. I mean, it's clear, right? It's just going to follow Bitcoin. But when it becomes closer to book value, to market value, like the tech world, I don't see a place where Ethereum's not underneath, I mean, over 10,000.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more with the sentiment around the kind of the real world use cases of we're having a lot of fun. There's a lot of education going on, especially in your community of Momentum Moneymakers, of like, hey, these NFTs aren't just JPEGs and pictures. Like this is the future of community. This is the future of kind of collectibles and all that stuff. So there's a lot of stuff to learn. But you know, not everybody's been on board, guys. That's kind of been the theme of, I think, this bull run for the last couple of years, right? Because it wasn't that long ago that, you know, some of the, I mean, you can make the argument this man's the most powerful man in finance, and he's saying things like this.
Crypto.
If you mean crypto like Bitcoin, I've always said it's a fraud.
No hope for it.
Well, if they think they're a currency, there's no hope for it. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a public decentralized money.
So Ponzi scheme, there's no hope for it. You know, this and that and the other thing. And then, you know, oh, wow, look at that. JP Morgan to allow institutional clients to use Bitcoin and Ethereum as collateral. Interesting. I mean, that was just a year ago. That was 2024, folks. We are here October on the back end of 2025. And Jamie Dimon has called it the last 2 years. It's a pet rock. It's a scam. It's a fraud. It's a Ponzi. It has no hope. We most certainly will like to take it to use some collateral to give you some Bitcoin and Ethereum-backed loans. Disclaimer, I don't think they put out the specifics of that yet. Most certainly won't be one-to-one. You know, there's going to be a markdown on those loans. But boys, I mean, Jamie Dimon, of course, we've been saying this on the pod for about 2 years now. You know, you got to do as they do, not as they say. And JP Morgan and Jamie Dimon specifically have been the best example of that.
Yeah, we love our victory lapping with Jamie Dimon. I mean, he's one of the most famous bankers of all time, and for good reason. He does a lot of great things out there, and I love to see these JP Morgan headlines. I mean, this is very interesting because it's talking about like spot exposure and utilizing it as collateral. It just goes to show you that traditional finance, these traditional bankers, are now acknowledging Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as an asset class, as a bigger part of our future. And again, we're not bullish enough. I don't care what the price says. The perma bull says we're not bullish enough.
not personal financial advice by any means.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all. But we're not bullish enough.
Anything to add, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I have a Chase account. Unapologetically have one of those, but I'd rather a Hood, you know, announce that they take Bitcoin's collateral and I'll go use those guys.
Yeah, we love us some Hood. I had the meme before. It was Saquon Barkley jumping over that defender last year, and I put you know, Bitcoin as Saquon and Jamie Dimon as the defender. But look, like, he's bending the knee. He's right. We welcome Jamie Dimon. Again, he is, you know, one of the most powerful people in finance and one of the most successful financial CEOs. So you can't say enough about him for, you know, his accolades and what he's accomplished, you know, especially when it comes to the stock price of JP Morgan and growing that book of business. But, you know, not everybody's without faults. You're banking Epstein, you know, you're hating on Bitcoin. So not everybody, Not everybody can have a perfect run, but in the history of banking CEOs, he's up there. He's up there for sure. But what about, I guess the one, so BlackRock, again, BlackRock's ahead of the curve, the first, you know, to the ETF, you know, filings, and kind of, I guess you could say Grayscale led the charge and paid for the lawyer fees. And I think BlackRock, you know, saved the money on that and teed up and was ready to swallow the market whole, as they did, being the first to reach, what was it, that magical 100, you know, was $100 billion number recently they got under management for their Bitcoin ETF. But I think what they're trying to do here is, I saw whoever put this link in can lead it off, is they're trying to attract the whales. They're saying, hey, you know, you don't want to have all that stuff on your own personal drives and keys. Like, give it to us and make sure, you know, protect yourself from some mistakes of self-custody. So anybody seeing anything around this with the Bitcoin whales are moving money into the ETFs?
Yeah, I threw this in just because I thought it was super interesting, because obviously self-custody has a ton of advantages that we all know. And a lot of the OG Bitcoin maxi people, they're cyberpunks. They love the aspect of self-custody, and they can still do that. But I found it interesting in this article that BlackRock's onboarded like $3 billion with a B into the BlackRock ETF with some of these whales. And there's some tax advantages there to get exposure to their ETF and these conversions. And I think it's pretty sharp from not only some of these whales to BlackRock. And I've talked about this in the past, to truly get to that next level where these super uber wealthy people want to invest in Bitcoin, the ETFs are such an easy onboarding mechanism that they can just call their broker and get exposure to Bitcoin like they've always done. They don't have to mess with Coinbase. They don't have to mess with self-custody. There are some advantages here to being like built in a more traditional house, that we're going to see more wealthy people, not only these Bitcoin whales, but we're going to see more wealthy people continuously acquire these ETFs. And I think it's a huge point. We talk about it all the time, but it's a huge aspect of why crypto is becoming more legitimate. The more money that gets put into these ETFs and funds that invest into them, the harder it is to essentially, I mean, just a few years ago, we're talking about the United States trying to ban Bitcoin. That would be laughable now with these ETFs if that would ever be mentioned. So I just thought this was pretty bullish to see some of these whales. They might not be selling. They're moving some over to the BlackRock ETF.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. No, sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say a large part of my exposure in my IRA is into the Bitcoin ETF, because it says right there, it offers tax benefits, and that's something that everyone's looking for. And then right below it is something that's, you know, people should be super bullish about, because it just doesn't stay there. You could transfer, convert it into actual spot Bitcoin. So that's super exciting.
Yeah. And if you go and learn, you know, some options action over there, if you have a large amount, you could start selling calls and producing, you know, some yield and all that stuff. You could be your own Michael Saylor alchemist and create your own little product. If you have enough shares of the Bitcoin, you know, ETFs. So definitely a product that, you know, has a ton of use, and you see it with the, you know, the fastest to BlackRock's, you know, beat out all those other famous ETFs to that, you know, under management number that they just hit, which is awesome. Some more bullish news around ETFs. You mentioned it earlier, Joe. Hong Kong doing the first Solana ETF seems to be approved. Again, we think that this is kind of, we won't harp on this too much. It's a quick hitter. Obviously, the SEC with the government shutdown has kind of paused everything around the Sol ETFs for our markets, but we believe they're coming from our friends at Bloomberg Intelligence. Some other breaking news this week: Trump pardons convicted Binance founder CZ. A lot of hot takes here. I think half the people that were commenting on it didn't realize that CZ already like served his, you know, already served and did some time. And like, it's kind of a old, not old news, but like people that were talking about it didn't really know what they're saying. Like, I know Elizabeth Warren called it money laundering or something. Like, she used a term that it's not what it was. So obviously this is a polarizing issue. We actually had some, you know, we appreciate all the comments, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, X, whatever. You know, we want to engage with everybody as much as possible. But we got a comment this week that was saying that we were too one-sided on the Trump train here. And I just think like it's just in the news. So we apologize. We're humans. Obviously, we have opinions and thoughts, but we just try to bring you guys the news, and this is what's going on. I pulled a video because I was like, I thought this was pretty funny. like CZ getting pardoned, I think is big for the space, right? Because him getting pardoned, I think is less about the sentence, right? Because that's kind of in the past. It's more about him being able to work for companies and work in government. So now that this is pardoned, he has the ability to go back and work and do CEO work and, you know, consulting and government work. So again, to your point, Brian, it feels like one of those things that higher, but I thought it was funny where, you know, we're not, at least I'm not 100%, you know, on board the Trump train all the time. I mean, listen to him talk about parting ZZ. Like, he has no idea who the guy is. As you can see here, I put Trump comments on pardoning his good friend CZ from Binance.
People say that, are you talking about the crypto person? A lot of people say that he wasn't guilty of anything. He served 4 months in jail, and they say that he was not guilty of anything. That what he did, well, you don't know much about crypto. You know nothing about nothing, you fake news. But let me just tell you that he was somebody that, as I was told, I don't know him. I don't believe I've ever met him. But I've been told by a lot of support. He had a lot of support. And they said that what he did is not even a crime. It wasn't a crime, that he was persecuted by the Biden administration. And so I gave him a pardon at the request of a lot of very good people.
I don't know him. I've never met him. Gave him a pardon. I mean, again, try to take politics out of that. We're here. We're in the markets. We're trying to trade and invest and win. But like, okay, so you have a lot of people, apparently people that the president listened to, telling him to go do this, which is borderline a favor at this point because the sentence has already been served, to go do this. It's like, okay, they want him involved in the markets. And you could make a full-on argument. We talked about it last week with Brendan. It's like, all this is going on, all this craziness, and BNB coin has barely moved from all-time highs. In fact, it made an all-time high last week. So, you know, you could say it's the best coin in the world. You could call, I don't know, maybe some insider corruption. Who knows? You have to make your own decisions there. But when it comes to the sense of, you know, going higher, it's like when you start to see this stuff, this is what the administration's thinking. This is where they want to go. And again, you got to skate to where the puck's going, not where it is.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Yeah, Trump is, love him or hate him, he's absolutely a beauty to watch in these press conferences. Like, just what comes out of his mouth, it's just hilarious. You could like what he's saying or not. It's just like, I can't believe that guy's saying that. But I think that clip's hilarious. I don't know enough about what CZ's actually guilty of and the time served and what that. I'm just not. I'm going to trust that some people smarter and that I've elected are going to take care of that. But I think this is a big move for the space. This pardon, it's going to get CZ a little bit more involved. I know he's had some like gray areas within crypto, but. Crypto
and
has
Binance
a lot of gray areas.
Too. Oh, yeah. 100. Well, and so does finance, just like we congratulated, you know, Jamie Dimon again for being literally the best banking CEO of our generation. You know, again, not Jamie Dimon personally, but JP Morgan under his leadership was doing the Epstein banking for a long time. So again, there's gray areas, there's crime, and there's crime in traditional finance, there's crime in crypto, and we're gonna get to it, folks, at the end of the show. A little teaser. Spoiler alert. There's crime in gambling. There's crime in sports. There's crime everywhere. Wherever there's money floating around, there's going to be some bad actors. But that's why you come here to the Crypto 101 podcast, because we just try to make sense of this crazy world for you. But a lot of bullish news for the Binance family. CZ pardon. So what does that mean? Again, where's he going to go work? Consult. We'll stay attuned to that and let you know. But the BNB coin's going everywhere. for such a high market cap coin. It was never on Coinbase. Just got listed there. Just got listed to Robinhood as well. So opening up, you know, a lot of market participants to buying some more BNB, which I found interesting and fantastic timing for the news flow of everything. Let's see. Any thoughts on CZ, Joe, and Binance before we move on?
No, just that Coinbase listed Binance before the pardon under platform. So maybe they knew something, but it was
yeah,
it's
I
good.
Feel like, yeah. I feel like Brian Armstrong might be in the know a little bit.
Well, they were like chirping each other back and forth.
They were.
This is like the beautiful thing about like crypto Twitter and how we get our news now. It's like CZ was basically, I might be getting this a little wrong, but like you're so all high and mighty and you're claiming this, you don't even list Binance on your platform. And the next day, like Brian Armstrong's like, we're listing Binance on our platform. So it's just a wild time to be following everything going on in crypto. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you get all that stuff on X. Again, if people that are following crypto aren't on X and aren't following at the Crypto 101 Pod, you're really missing out, because all this, you know, all this talk back and forth that Brian's saying, it all happens out in the open on X, and you get a ton of great content, ton of great videos, and stay up to date on all the breaking news. So I think it's an important place to be, especially if you're in crypto. But moving on, we had a coin. Speaking of Coinbase, guys, they made a huge announcement. Up Only TV is coming back. And if there's one person that's the most excited here, it's Brian. So, Brian, I want to get you center stage. I know we have some links here about Coinbase buying up the NFT. I can bring that up. Just point to anything you want on the sheet. I'll pull it up and break it down for people. But tee it up as well and then break it down, because I think there's going to be some listeners that might not know the full story.
Yeah, Kobe is the guy's name. That's a famous like meme creator, trader. Personality on crypto Twitter, always has these really hot takes. I think his real name's Jordan. And then there's his co-host, which was Ledger Status. Just does a lot of the TA, just a chill kind of vibes type of guy. And they had a show. It was launched in 2021. I'm 99% sure it was sponsored by FTX. That was a big reason why they took it down at one point. But they had like 60-some episodes that were just absolutely amazing. Just these two guys that were electric traders, knows the space inside and out, just had this really good vibes to them. And I used to watch Up Only, and just, it is a great name too. And I used to watch their show. And when FTX imploded right around like that 2022 era, they pretty much shut it down as well. They were a main sponsor of FTX. And people were pissed. They were like, what the heck? Like, everyone really liked Up Only. They did all sorts of different unique things. Everything from just like talking about meme coins to talking about the macros to helping kids fight leukemia through fundraisers. They would actually have these find these musicians on Twitch, and everybody would pile in, and like a girl would be playing the acoustic guitar, and he would be like, hey man, play Smells Like Teen Spirit. And she would start to play Smells Like Teen Spirit, and all of a sudden the chat would flood them with hundreds of Ethereum, $250,000 we're talking about. And they're like, is this real? It was just such a great episode. And for them to abruptly pretty much cancel, and then we went to this huge bear market, it sucked. So that went down. Essentially, everyone was like, when are you coming back? Kobe's like, hey, he created a NFT. And it basically said, the purchaser of this NFT gets 8 episodes from Ledger and I. We have full discretion to basically talk about whatever we want, but we'll do 8 episodes. And the cost, $25 million. And it was pretty much a joke, because who the heck was going to pay $25 million for these 8 episodes? You. Coinbase. Brian Armstrong comes in, they buy the NFT, and now they're on the hook to do 8 new episodes. I think that'll round them out to about 70 total episodes. And it's really electric stuff. And we've seen a little bit more around this. So you can see that they bought the $25 million NFT. They're on the hook to do 8 episodes. So they're coming back. I'm super fired up for it. Obviously, Coinbase is fired up. And then the next day, we actually see Coinbase bought Kobe's platform, Echo, for like $375 million. Yeah. So that goes to show you that there was probably a lot going on with this buy. It wasn't just a $25 million 8-episode NFT, but now they bought his platform, Echo, which does some great things, really helping, fundraise and bring a unique part to the ecosystem. But I'm fired up for the episodes, really excited to see how it all, shakes out. And I've even seen, like, if anybody's following, like, that Get Rich Quick Nick guy, the Nick O'Neill character, I know they were going back and forth. Kobe was, like, essentially like, hey, you wear a hot mic and do whatever we say on the street, and you'll be guest number one of our show. So with that all being said, we don't know what these shows are going to be all about, but they're going to get a ton of viewership. Mm-hmm. And then when you lay one more layer onto this, they also, Coinbase or Base Ecosystem has the Zora platform, and they're trying to bring a lot of social media content, a lot of content to it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Up Only launch on Zora, a lot of unique ways to think about this, but I'm going to kind of wrap it up and kind of kick it over to Joe. That amazing stuff. Can't wait for these episodes to come out.
Love that template, little bubble of Brian right there in the bottom right corner. Yeah, this all happened in the last, 7 days? I joked internally that because Kobe said that anyone who bought the NFT, we might not even mention you if you bought us for $25 million. So Twitter was going crazy. They're like, yeah, don't mention Coinbase. Start streaming on Binance. You know, it'd be hilarious if they just started streaming like on another platform. But then one day later, they come out with the Coinbase buys Echo. So you know this had been talks for a while. You don't just make a $375 million acquisition out of a whim. So this is not a surprise purchase by Coinbase by any means. They probably had to buy it to make the acquisition go through. That's probably one of the stipulations. And then, of course, you know, if you go on Kobe's handle, you'll see that it says Coinbase on his handle now. So he didn't sell his soul, but, you know, large part of it is over at Coinbase. And pretty sure the platform that Brian's talking about is where he's going to stream those episodes. It just makes sense, right? Because he's got to pump his own bags. He's a Coinbase mascot right now. And Zora has his own token. So that's an alpha call for you guys. Zora did pump up recently because of Hood, a Robin Hood listing, TiVo. Not sure if you knew that. And it's is it near all-time highs or is it going back to near? We didn't put it on the chart here, but that was a call. That's going to be a solid, you know, Base. So that's an alpha call. When Base launches the tokens, people's gonna be like, what's on Base? Like, I don't even use Base. One of the first things they're gonna be, you know, seeing on there is Zora. That's Zora.
Credit to the rundown, because when everybody was on vacation 1 week, I needed to get an episode out, so I invited our friend over from Tasty Trade who joined us, and I just told him, I was like, hey, bring a call, and his was actually Zora, and it was down here in this range. And so absolute gem of a call that you got on the rundown. If you listen and subscribe. So if you're here on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. If you're new, definitely hit the subscribe button. Check it out on the bottom right. You'll see our logo. Hit that and subscribe. And then again, if you're a pod listener, you're always in the right place. But let's transition, guys. This is what the people love when you're here. Let's dive into the Momentum Moneymakers. If you guys, you obviously know Brian and Joe by now. And if you're interested at any point in joining their community, we have a trial for you guys in the description. Just go down, check it out. It's the first link there for you, and give it a click. And again, I think it's like a dollar trial. So if you want more access to these calls that they give, if you want the instant alerts so you can kind of take action on them and get educated the right way, check out that link below. But fellas, you guys have had, let's start with Tibber. We'll go Tibber first, and then we'll go over to Base Meme. So what was going on with Tibber? I know that was one of your calls not too long ago.
Yeah, that call was a couple months ago, and it was one of the more bullish, if we even want to call it a meme coin calls back in the day. And I think we even talked about it on the rundown a handful of times. So we called it, I'm looking right now, at around a $70 million market cap, and I think it's closing on $400 million. So a big win, especially in these markets with not a ton of stuff pumping for anybody that followed. But Tibber is essentially Ribbit Capital, but Ribbit spelled backwards. And we did talk about this on the rundown because the AI agent that actually controls it bought that clown CryptoPunk we see in the corner. And this has just been one of the best looking charts in all of crypto, straight and up and to the right. Personally, I still have some holdings. So just a full disclosure for everyone, it's a coin that like I've just like felt very comfortable holding. But we're up, you know, I thought it was only like a 3x, but probably even more since probably early on calling it. And that's kind of what we do at the Momentum Moneymakers. I remember talking to Joe when this first released, and I was like, man, this Tibber is ribbit backwards. And then we backtraced it to the CEO and Mickey and his connection with punks and what they were building. And they just had two very similar vibes. And I'm like, man, I'm telling you, I think Tibber's ribbit capital. And why I'm pointing it out today is ribbit capital actually kind of acknowledged it for the first time, gave a direct nod. So we're getting even more confirmation that these two are clearly connected. And it's a nice proxy play to Ribbit Capital. And, you know, that's just kind of some of the alpha that we're peeling through. Not all of them have to be like just straight meme coin plays. It's just really peeling back those layers of the onion and trying to figure out the best opportunities.
Yeah, anything to add on Tibber, Joe? Or we can transition to the base meme coin alpha call if you want.
Yeah, not on Tibber, but if you could pull up that Zora thing real quick. Because I didn't think about this, but this is an alpha call within an alpha call. We're just giving it all today. We're just releasing it all. So Zora has a token, right? But if you're a creator on Zora, you create content, videos, pictures, like Instagram, whatever, you automatically get a token created. If should, would Kobe launches his Up Only podcast on here, the Kobe token is going to be automatically launched. So that thing is probably going to be like a rocket ship up because there was a meme coin created immediately when the purchase was announced of the $25 million. But if he has an official one with Zora, that's an alpha call with an alpha call for you guys. It's kind of like the beta call. So yeah, take that for what it is. And then on the base meme coin call, just to wrap things up nicely in a bow, you can click on over to the base meme coin link. This is, if you zoom out on the on a daily or even a weekly even, this is Brian Armstrong's cat. For some reason, the dog memes don't thrive on base, but cats do. So Brian Armstrong's dog named Russell, by the way, which we talked about, his meme coin is not doing so hot. It seems like cats are doing well on base. But what we're trying to share is that, you know, momentum moves really quickly. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about purpose platforms, you know, and we had a huge liquidation. But one thing that's coming up, and to really paint a good picture of this, is the base token, right? If you want to pull up CoinMarketCap, there's precedence to this, right? Binance chain is $148 billion market cap. Mantle is run by exchange called Bybit, and they're at like $5 billion. What I'm trying to say is that Binance is vertically integrated with, you know, Binance Smart Chain. Bybit's vertically integrated with Mantle. What's Base vertically integrated with? Coinbase. But Base doesn't even have a token. Well, that's not a real Base token. I just meant to pull up a Coinbase ranking overall. My bad. My bad, TiVo. My bad.
No worries. Don't buy this token.
Yeah, don't buy this token. But what we're saying is that everything that we talk about is there's a rhyme and reason for it, right? Why did Brian Armstrong buy, you know, Kobe's NFT right now? Why did he buy his venture fund right now? Why is Zora popping? Why is Tibber popping? Why is Brian Armstrong's cat meme coin popping off in base? Because all eyes are on base right now. Everyone's waiting for the base token to drop. It's probably going to come closer to the end of 2026 versus earlier, because there's a ton of airdrops coming in Q4. And where I think is going to rotate to is base. So the people who's getting in early, they're like, you know, on chain can mark all your activity. So if you show on chain activity, potentially you might get a base token airdrop. I think Brian Armstrong would be crucified if he didn't do a base airdrop to the community, you know, of any sort. So in order to get support. So everyone out there right now, there's a potential to hit something we call, you know, airdrops. And we could talk about that next time if you want, but that's just why things are popping off right now in the base ecosystem.
Yeah, and then we've covered, obviously, base top to bottom. Obviously, we've mentioned Aerodrome a ton on this podcast. We've even had Aerodrome interviewed on the pod with one of our flagship interviews. So, you know, our team's been all over it, and we'll continue to be all over it as we continue on. I'll say this, a lot of smart people, they know, they love base, they love Coinbase, they love Robinhood. But I'll tell you what, boys, the smartest people in the world, and quote-unquote, the self-proclaimed smartest person in the world, loves Pudgy Penguin. So there's the guy, we've talked about him on the show, how, you know, the smartest person with the highest IQ in the world. Again, I don't know how to rate that. I'm sure there's an argument, but he's one of definitely the smartest people in the world with the highest IQ. Came out and said he loves Bitcoin. He's putting all of his money into Bitcoin. He believes in Jesus. All that stuff was all over Twitter. And now he's on the board of directors of some sort of Pudgy Penguin. Advising. He's now advising Pudgy Penguin as the lore thickens. So if you love Bitcoin, if you love Pengu and you love Jesus, you could technically say you are some of the most smartest people on the planet. Does this get you excited, Joe? You're our Pengu number one. I know Brian and you both love it, but Joe, I always look at you as like my Pengu guy. Does this get the juices flowing? Does this build the lore for you?
I mean, if he's compared to Bitcoin and Jesus, then hell yeah. I mean, there you don't get much better than those two. Yeah, I'm more excited that Tom Lee has a Pudgy Pengu, but you know, they're doing things every single week. So they have some big things coming in Q4. We still don't know who Pudgy Penguins acquired. They had a big acquisition. So we definitely love Pengu, and we just can't wait to see what they implement. You know, Q4 is usually the quarter that Pudgy Penguins does the best.
I saw something going around Twitter yesterday, and Luca commented on it. It was like a penguin and a panda emoji, and people were like claiming that there's like some sort of correlation between Kung Fu Panda, and Pudgy Penguins. But I think even somebody in our chat, shout out whoever that was, Noah, looks like even asked about Pengu, and I know it's down, but it's still. Personally, again, not financial advice, it's like one of my favorite coins to keep buying. Maybe I'm like a glutton for punishment, but it just feels like so many reasons why. Like, it's a $1.3 billion market cap. It is, you know, 1/20th, 1/30th of Dogecoin, and they have huge partnerships we've talked about all through the rundowns and within our community. I just think it's absolutely going to explode. But obviously, some of the meme coins out there, so the hype goes away once we see like Bitcoin and Ethereum kind of getting waxed and getting hit, or these long leverage liquidations. You know, these higher risk assets are going to take a hit. So personally, fundamentally, I don't see anything wrong with Pengu. It's one of my favorite bags I hold. I absolutely love acquiring more, and I think the sky's going to be the limit, really, once we start kicking off with new highs and a lot of the macros. I think Pengu is going to be following at an absolute crazy speed.
Yeah. They got 30 million in revenue, and Silicon Valley, you know, people usually trade 30, 40, 50 times earnings. So it's perfectly valued right now. Sorry, people.
Oh, I love that. I think that's a great little tidbit there. That's a fun fact. And then the holiday season, who knows what they're going to drop, and maybe those revenues go higher. A little, you know, some stocking stuffers, maybe some pudgies under the tree. Who knows? But let's go. We got like 10 minutes till an hour. So let's move on here a little bit. We got a lot to talk about with here's some quick hitters. Robinhood list hype. So just if you're interested in hype, I know we've talked about it on the show before. That's now available on Robinhood. And then let's touch on this real quick before we dive into our final topic. OpenSea sets to launch a token for Q1. We'll hold on comments for that because actually, believe it or not, we have the Open, and I'm sure that's why they're coming on. We have the OpenSea CMO joining us next week for a flagship interview podcast. So we're going to dive deep into the OpenSea token launch, which is set for Q1 2026, with 50% of the revenue at launch earmarked for buyback. So an interesting setup there. We're going to do a full podcast episode with Bryce and Brendan on that and get that out to you in the next couple weeks. So something to look forward to. But the main event of the week here has been and continues to be the prediction markets. I mean, you had DraftKings acquiring one. Jupiter is launching prediction markets with Kalshi. Kalshi's fielding investment offers at a $10-plus billion evaluation. And then, again, let's start it off here, guys. Who's seeing the news around Polymarket to launch a token? The CMO of Polymarket confirms that a native token's coming. So what are the thoughts around that, and what could that lead to?
I'll tell you what. I've been absolutely crushing my Kalshi and Polymarket accounts recently. Well, crushing with like deposits. I was actually up in both accounts for quite some time, and we've recently just hit the red. So I need this token. I need this token to come harder than ever. No, it's exciting stuff. We had Matthew jump on. I listened to him live. on the Morning Minute a talk about their token the other day, and he acknowledged, he's like, yeah, we're launching a token. We're going to be launching a token. He said the first order of business is the United States and building out the interface and the app. So they're coming to the United States. Kalshi's the only one currently where you don't need a VPN. Polymarket, a little bit different. So if you're not in the United States, there's some hurdles there, but they're going to be launching in the United States any day. I think they're going for like a $15 billion valuation. So prediction markets are, we've been talking about it for months now, guys, that, you know, my experience with DraftKings, we've mentioned this on the rundown. I had no insider information, but I was like, things are getting too big for prediction markets for DraftKings not to evaluate a prediction market. And sure enough, they did an acquisition of Railbird. They get it. Some huge news out there. But with this Poly token being announced essentially through the news, just goes to show you that airdrops are going to be very healthy for people that are exploring these areas. And yeah, here's the tweet I was referring to. DraftKings acquires Railbird. So prediction market meta is real. I think there's this like alpha here, and it's something that Joe and I are going to talk deeper within our community, where anybody that's building like tools or apps or AI agent integrations with you and essentially launching tokens, and they're utilizing like the prediction market meta, you know, as simple as maybe an AI agent that places wagers on your behalf, just like a Telegram bot would be to buy tokens. There's just a lot of information now around these tools and apps centering around prediction markets. And I think there's going to be real opportunity with a few of those tokens. Maybe it's not so much meme coin centric, but it's going to be some micro caps that I think could really explode. So it's an area of interest that I personally have.
Yeah, everyone's been waiting for a way to get exposure to prediction markets. And this is coming. Polymarket's coming. I mean, hopefully DraftKings doesn't get back in, because DraftKings rug pulled us with their NFT projects. Sorry, DraftKings.
Sorry,
sore
Brian.
Spot there. Oh, sorry, Brian. Good thing, because we got Brian now, which is amazing. But prediction markets overall is going to be huge. Already is doing $2 billion a month. So meme coin market cap is around 50, 60 billion currently. Prediction markets, the year's not even over, is going to dwarf that. So prediction markets next year is going to be solid play. And yeah, like Brian said, that's another alpha for you. Just hammer Poly and Kalshi with Jupe now. I did my first prediction market on Jupe. And it was seamless. Potentially, Kalshi will have, well, not potentially, they're integrated with Jupe. They're probably going to do a token. They're trying to get behind Polymarket and to not be taken over. And Polymarket's, you know, they got the head start right now. So they'll probably
it's
be Kalshi, token for both.
I mean, we gotta find some stats. I don't know how to find these stats exactly, but it's like Polymarket obviously is the name. It's like one of the things, like, do you win if you become the verb? Like, oh, Polymarket's the verb for prediction markets right now. But it also seems like, obviously, they're getting cleared in the U.S., but Kalshi's had crazy partnerships. I mean, the partnership with Robinhood, the partnership with Jupiter. They just announced a partnership with the NHL. Again, this is just disrupting that gambling market, which is why DraftKings has to go out, and FanDuel, I'm sure, is next. But it's just this huge, speak of a gray area, just huge gray area with regulations and sports gambling. But, you know, when there's money to be had, you know, sports teams are gonna take it.
Yeah, and you can see in this tweet, it's actually, I'm not even sure what partnership the NHL merged with here. Is it Kalshi and Polymarket? Literally, in all of these, every article I can find, it says Kalshi and Polymarket that they reached an agreement to. But this just goes to show you that these prediction market platforms are definitely cutting edge. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. The VCs can't get enough of it right now. There's definitely going to be some legality that's going to need to be worked out. We'll have to see how this is all going to shake out in the long run, but I'm bullish on the tokens. I think Kalshi is going to do a token. Polymarket's confirmed a token. So this is just another way where blockchain is disrupting the traditional world. And companies like DraftKings, companies like FanDuel, the NHL, they're pivoting, and they're pivoting quickly. And we're going to see how this all kind of like shakes out in the long run. But right now, I'm here for it. They've definitely got some of my interest. Now, with this all being said, I do think Polymarket's token is going to take some time to launch. This isn't, at one point, I thought maybe it'd be Q4. I don't think that by any means. After hearing Matthew on the radio just recently, he was saying that his first the first process is to get legalized in the United States, and that's going to be moving along. I think that probably happens in Q4. I think the token's going to be more Q or 2006, I should say. I don't even know if it's going to be Q1. But there's going to be he emphasized in the show that elections are huge for them. As big as sports have been, elections and midterms are an enormous part of their business, because a lot of these major companies and news sources want the data for the elections. In addition, people love wagering on the elections. So we're going to have I believe it's next November, we're going to have the midterms. So I think it's going to be, there's going to be some time here to really follow the prediction markets and get a niche and see how it's all getting built out, because I don't think this token's going to release overnight.
Yeah. And it's just when especially when you talk about mixing this in with sports, obviously your sports books have their say, and they're probably like going to town on the people that they've, you know, the regulators and the, you know, the people in DC that have helped get them across the finish line in certain states, but they're not across the finish line in all states. And then this prediction markets is just, you know, obviously rolling out in basically all states live, especially with Kalshi, I believe, right? And it's because you're not playing the sports book, you're taking a bet against another person. So there's no, like, you know, the maker taker thing of the sports book isn't there, which is what makes it different slash makes it legal. An interesting thing to watch, especially when, you know, there's all these, the spotlight on sports and sports gambling and all these sports books. And it's going to be the same thing, I guess, for prediction markets. Again, if you remember, I was a part of it working at Barstool, was like at one point in time, it was the race to create a sports book. It was, hey, hi, we got to create a sports book. ESPN Bets, Barstool sports book, this sports book, that sports book, MGM sports book. And like, you've kind of seen, whether it's from acquisitions or just kind of like the Barstool thing faded away. And it's just like, it's not as profitable to have 100 of them. There's going to be a couple winners. And I feel like we're entering that age with prediction markets as well. So it's something to watch. But also, it's a spotlight for sports and sports gambling. And boy, has there been some hot water this week around the NBA with, you know, some insider, I don't even know, you know, just some scandals. Some guys in the NBA, a coach, Chauncey Billups, NBA Hall of Famer, getting caught up in this gambling ring, possibly tipping off, you know, if he's going to bench players. And then Terry Rozier, Scary Terry, you know, basically being involved with the mafia and telling him that, you know, hey, take the under on everything I got. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get out of the game. And then obviously the people that know that would put a monster bet on his unders. Just, again, a disgrace to the game, disgrace to the gamblers. Shame on you, Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. Have fun in prison. But again, it just kind of opens up the light to, you know, how much is being gambled, whether it's prediction markets or traditional sports books, and how big of a piece of a pie is there. And it's not going anywhere, but man, that's a tough look. So any thoughts on that? And then we can transition into the NBA chop shot with Joe. But any thoughts, Brian, I know you're a big gambler. Do you want to shame Terry Rozier live on air?
The best are the clips everyone's put together of him, like, you know, bad passes or missing shots and all these, like, where he's blatantly like could never be that bad with some of the moves. It's a bad look for sports gambling. I think we all assume that there were some people cooking numbers always, because it's tough, especially with player props. Like, it's so easy to manipulate an under as a player. It's like you could literally be in the fourth quarter and be like, ah, my ankle or my foot hurts, and you don't go back in the game, and you're right on your number or below it. It happens. And this whole scenario with these x-ray poker tables and the marked cards and bringing like celebrities in to play with these NBA players, it's just the beginning, and it's pretty wild. Joe, any thoughts here on what's been going down?
No, I'm just thinking of movies, you know, sports betting. We got people stealing crown jewels. Like, what's going on? No comments.
No, you're right. I mean, this is going to be a movie for sure, definitely in, you know, five whatever years time. And then I don't know how long you go to. I mean, there was the famous ref. I can't remember his name, but he, you know, went to jail or prison and then came out and made the documentary. So I don't know how long Terry Rozier is going to be in the clink, but it will be a great movie documentary one day for sure. But any update, I guess while we're on the NBA, Joe, take us to NBA Top Shot and then we'll do some questions. So if anybody wants to fire off some questions, I see a couple already. We'll wrap up with that.
Yeah, just to wrap things up, I mean, we're giving probably more alpha here than honestly to our personal community. Top Shot, I think Brian's going to dive more into this in depth next week for those of you guys who want to jump in our community. But Top Shot, the TLDR is just a summary that they're revamping and there's going to be a lot of money to be made on NBA Top Shot NFTs this year. We know the NBA season just started. They timed it well. They saw what Panini was doing with not only cardboard, but Panini NFTs have been on fire. We talked about that in this rundown, right? We talked about how the Caitlin Clark sold for more than his cardboard counterpart. And they, I think they actually tagged Cooper Flagg. They actually have him as a sponsor of sorts. But there's just going to be a lot of opportunity to buy and flip NFTs on NBA Top Shot, kind of like the physical cards, but you can do it instantaneously. And I talked to Brian, like during the NBA season, Brian, how many times did I message you? I'm like, did you buy this pack? And I just made $100 clicking a few mouse buttons. Literally that, I don't want to simplify, but that's pretty much what I do. And this year is going to be just a lot better. And I can't imagine it because it's been pretty good.
Yeah, great plug for the community. Again, that link is in the description below. I know you guys have been all over the Top Shot stuff. So if it's something you want to be interested in and get that first alert and alpha, check out the link. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Joe's not messaging me enough. I feel like I need to get some of these easy layups as well as our community. But it is something we'll be talking about more and more. The new Top Shot looks awesome.
For sure. So let's say hi to the chat before we head out. We already covered for Noah Blue. We already talked about Pengu, but we got James. This is a new name. iRhino5. What's up, man? Fu Manchu. That's great. Classic CGA, James Williams, and M. So let's see. Nobody Sausage. We didn't talk about that today. Any thoughts on the sausage? I know we're just holding at this point. Again, you want to talk about a glutton for punishment, but it's been a fun ride and to see if that catches on. But any thoughts on the sausage?
They got stuff coming. They got stuff coming. People calling for it to go to a dollar was at 3-4 cents right now. I mean, meta changes really, really quickly, and that's more of a sentiment play alongside the macro of the meme coin market right now. So right now, the macro is, the eyeballs are not on meme coin market. It's at prediction markets. It's not going away. It's going to definitely rotate. But Nobody Sausage, I'm still particularly bullish. I have a position, so it's turned into a midterm to long-term hold for me, but I still like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. I mean, we know there's... Sorry about that, TiVo. We know there's more information coming out, more partnerships coming out with Nobody Sausage. And just like Joe said, attention is invaluable in the meme coin space, but it does seem to have kind of found a bottom personally, and it seems to just be trading sideways, maybe a couple little up days here. So I think once the market finally starts to pick up, we could be in for a real treat because they're just continuing to produce content and sign partnerships. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and that makes three of us. I'm a holder as well, and I just think it's hilarious. I got it the moment Brian sent it to me. I was like, I get this. This is funny. And then I love how, the partnerships, and I thought the boxing was great exposure. And, again, how they have that relationship with kind of the Pengu team is kind of a cherry on top for me. So excited to follow along and, again, be a part of the community and see where that ends up. Fu Manchu asking us, do you think any countries in Europe are going to create a crypto reserve fund? Again, if we have the crystal ball, we would definitely let you know. I do think it's coming at some point, and then I think that's like it's a snowball effect, right? It's the same thing with the U.S. Once the U.S. buys additional Bitcoin, even if they do it in this quote-unquote budget-neutral way, that's going to set off a snowball for other countries to do it. And yeah, I think some other countries will definitely be taking steps in 2026. But you guys, any thoughts on it?
You know, yeah. I think there's been, sorry, Joe, I think there's been actually some articles recently from a UK leader that's been like touting crypto as Bitcoin as a strategic reserve. It's been kind of catching some headlines. Sorry about that, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I definitely believe that if they're not acquiring it already, they're definitely going to be public with it soon, just like the US of A is probably doing also.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting part is if they're actually doing it kind of, you know, doing it quietly and then announcing it later, which would be smart, honestly. Let's see. CJE, our friend of the program, He heard rumors that Peter Schiff might do a BTC gold debate with CZ. I know he had that link on the rundown. That's not confirmed, right? That was just some Twitter back and forth, or did they agree to that?
I think it's going down. I think the confirmation. I think the confirmation is them through Twitter basically saying I'll debate you.
But time and place CZ type was, tweet. Anytime, any place.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna be Bitcoin versus tokenized gold, which kind of tokenized gold makes sense to me, but it's also kind of like what ETFs are for gold as well. So I would be very interested in this debate. I think it'll catch a lot of eyeballs. CZ was the best because he like tweeted on like tokenized gold is it's a trust me bro token, so it's a trust me bro that I have that gold. So it's gonna be great. Hopefully we get official confirmation, but I think they did agree to it, but we don't have any specific times or dates. Yeah. Anybody can back out at any time.
Fresh off the pardon, hitting the debate circuit, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. And we got a final one, James Williams NM, part of the Toshi squad. Any thoughts on Toshi being Base's number one meme coin?
Yeah, it's taking the lead over, I think it's taking the lead over Brett. There is momentum behind Brett, but Toshi seems to be the clear winner. And if you draw an ascending trend line since, I believe, April or May, it hasn't broken that trend line. Like, even with the macro 100% tariff scare on China, it just bounced straight back up. So it's at the exact ascending trend line support zone right now. So this is not a horrible entry because it's held this for close to half a year now. So we do like Toshi where it is now. And if rising tides does raise all ships in Base, then everyone's going to look at what's the meme coin on Base. And there's only like two clear winners, which is Brett and Toshi. So we do like it here, especially right now at the support level right here.
Awesome stuff, guys. Well, thank you both for joining me again. An hour, 7 minutes of free content here on YouTube and the podcast. If you're live with us, we appreciate it. Again, give it a like before you head home. Subscribe if you're new. And then podcast listeners, check us out on YouTube if you haven't yet. And then obviously the first link in the description is Joe and Brian's private community. So if you want those first alerts and to get more of this Momentum Moneymaker content, check out that link for the free trial. We really, really appreciate you tuning in with us. Again, I'll be better of getting our schedule out to everybody for next week, what our content schedule is going to be. But other than that, we really appreciate you being here. Hope you have an awesome weekend, and we are going to see you guys next week for some more Crypto 101 podcasts. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
You hired a new employee. Time to get to work, right? Not quite. First, you need to get a bunch of HR tools for payroll and benefits. Then you'll need to add IT software to manage their devices and app access. You also have to track their expenses, so you'll need different finance software for that, too. Oh, and none of these softwares work together. That's sad. Software as a disservice. Rippling is built to serve your business. It lets you run HR, IT, and finance on one unified platform. Rippling provides time-saving automations and connected workflows across your departments, so you can finally find time for the work that matters. And for a limited time, you can get 6 months of Rippling free when you sign up at rippling.com/podcast. That's RIPPLING.com/podcast for 6 months of Rippling free. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.